There we have it! Hong Kong make history, their first ever international test win. And what a game it was. Japan were fantastic. Hong Kong were fantastic. There's going to be a jolly good piss up tonight.
Hello and welcome to League 852, episode number 9.
Good Lord, number 9.
Who'd have thought? I'm Neil Metcalf, I'm your presenter, and I'm joined by regular co-hosts, Bingo Lung, captain of Hong Kong, nearly forgot his name, and Jack Nielsen, sports personality of the year, dual international, MMA fighter, and daddy.
Is there anything you don't do, Jack?
Dishes.
And we're also joined today by special guest Tahir. Tahir, give us a wave.
Which you obviously can't see on the podcast.
So Tahir is Jack's son.
Special guest. Very special guest today.
Exactly. And it's great that Jack continues to help us with the podcast, even though he has got other responsibilities, i.e. looking after his kids.
Yeah. Super dad.
Yeah, he is. Super dad. Wait, is your LinkedIn profile say dadpreneur or something? Or am I dreaming?
Dadtrepreneur. I do a few other businesses that require the suffix trepreneur. Almost sounds French, a little bit. Very topical. I've heard a lot of French. I don't know why they've been saying that all week, but maybe you guys have an idea of as to why the French people are so happy.
I've seen some people sort of rediscover their dubious French heritage this week as well.
Right.
All the Allez le Bleus coming out on Facebook.
Well, to be fair, they won a very exciting World Cup. I think overall the tournament was fantastic, but clearly not a patch on what the Emerging Nations World Championship is going to be.
Ooh, give us those dates. Give us those dates. When's that happening, mate?
The Emerging Nations World Championship start on the 1st of October and finish on the 13th. 11 teams, I think.
Three pools.
Yeah,
three pools.
Hong Kong guaranteed 4 games.
Yes.
Very exciting.
And our first game is on Thursday, the 4th of October, against Poland.
Against Poland.
Yeah.
Who I believe are a new rugby league nation, if that's correct. They haven't played an international yet.
That's what I'm led to believe. So, what about the Solomon Islands? What do we know about them? That's game two.
Solomon Islands have quite a long rugby league history, I think. So they're definitely far more established on the international stage than we are. I think last year they played against Vanuatu. I'm not sure what the result was, but that goes to show just the kind of pedigree that they have in rugby league as well.
I also understand there's been a lot of bad history in the Solomon Islands for rugby league. So it wasn't.
Is that right?
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago that I think, on behalf of the union, they were actually trying to arrest rugby players.
Okay. Well.
So I think there is some bad history there.
I mean, it sounds quite turbulent, but I think actually the prime minister or whoever the political figurehead is in Solomon Islands is now also the patron of rugby league in Solomon Islands. So. Sounds like they've had quite a journey.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, a shout out to anyone listening from the Solomon Islands to come on and set the record straight. but no, in all seriousness, the Emerging Nations World Championship is going to be a fantastic event. It's in Sydney. All the games are in Western Sydney, primarily played at three grounds, St Mary's, Cabramatta and Windsor. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we'll be staying in our hotel rooms at night because the Westies are dangerous.
Sure, okay.
But it's going to be very exciting. And then, look, we've got to raise a lot of cash to get there, boys.
We do.
Any ideas?
How about some crowdfunding?
Yeah, so in, probably in the next month or 6 weeks, we will launch a crowd fundraising campaign. James Hall is going to look after kind of getting everyone together. He's going to take a bit off my hands just so we can delegate properly and get people doing stuff. Mm-hmm. So hopefully we've got a lot of leaguers who just want to donate towards the cause.
Mm.
And of course, you know, we're still trying to get sponsors on board and what have you. It just takes a bit of time. So the good thing is, because we've more or less agreed to stay in student accommodation,
fantastic.
Then the costs have gone down, which is great. So five people to a room.
Great.
Two bathrooms.
Very important.
For 15 people. No, I'm joking. Two bathrooms per apartment.
Co-ed. Is it co-ed? Says the father and the one of the fathers.
And the good thing about staying in within student accommodation, which is more or less on campus, is there's actually facilities we can use. So, you know,
there's
an oval we can do some training on. And
swimming pool.
There's a gym and swimming pool. We haven't quite worked out yet how we access it, so we're just trying to sort those things out.
Sure. Jump in, I think.
Jump in, yeah. Students now. So, yeah, we were looking forward to that.
What do you reckon, Jack, from a playing perspective? Four games in space of 10 days.
Hence the reason that we're going to have a rather large squad, whether they're guys that come from around Australasia, New Zealand, Australia, or the guys that can basically afford to take the time off here.
Yeah, it's going to be it's an unlimited squad.
Mm. Right. So we're definitely going to need numbers, and no doubt there will likely be injuries, so we just need to manage those and recover well. There'll be some recovery protocols that I'm more than happy to help with.
Yeah, we do need proper recovery protocols and not just going to the bar. So.
Oh, okay, then I can't help. My suggestion.
It's a tough ask. I mean, how do you feel, Vingo? You mean, it's captain. You mean, I assume you'll be captain. I guess it's up to the selectors. But four games, 10 days.
It's definitely going to be a tough ask, especially looking at our first two games against Poland and Solomon Islands. I'm sure they'll both be extremely physical games, maybe physical in different ways, but they'll definitely be physical. And you know, we're all amateurs at the end of the day, so playing four games, preparing the body for four games in 10 days is going to be a big ask, but the hard work starts here, I guess.
I think we can manage the squad and between Jason and the coaching staff, and again, if we're smart with how we play and almost horses for courses, approach might actually help rotate guys in and out, which I think will be the smart thing to do.
Yep. Now, although it's an unlimited squad for the tournament, it isn't an unlimited squad on match day, so we still have to play by international rules, which is 17 people. So rotating those four subs is going to be interesting.
Yeah, that's why I think it's really important for us to build a squad depth as well. And you know, even in domestic games this year, we've had quite a few guys put their hands up, which has been quite exciting. So if there's one thing to take away from our domestic season this year, is that we've actually had a few guys come in and a few gems that we've unearthed.
Mate, Harry
Rogers, right? Big man. He came and played his first game in Hong Kong Rugby League last weekend, and he was killing blokes left, right, and centre.
He's got about 4'8", but about 5 foot wide. He's just like a cannonball, right?
He's just knocking back guys, and I think he's got quite a strong union pedigree from New Zealand.
Played in Dunners, very tough cop down there.
Exactly, he's played Dunedin, Otago, he's Auckland, age group, so he's got a really strong rugby union pedigree, and he's played with quite a few NRL players as well, like so Conrad Hurrell in his schoolboy days. So he's well keen, and he want to find if, you know, if there's anything we can take out of the season, it's the guys like Ari that we found come down and play, and hopefully they'll contribute to the national team as well.
Absolutely. Now, what about Dickie Wong as well? He was a new find. I don't even know how.
Football
he...
club.
Yeah, did you introduce him, Jack?
Yes.
I had no idea where he came from.
He was basically there to take my place.
Right.
Dickie plays a bit of, I think, for either the Bulls or the Scorps at a football club. He approached me and said, "Man, I'm keen to play league. I'd love to play for Hong Kong one day as well. What do I do?" I said, "Come play rugby league in the domestic season." And here we are.
Yeah, no, so he went quite well. Another big unit.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. He looks like a traditional
prop.
He's a lump. It's only your terms, isn't it? Lumps. He's a lump.
So, yeah, he went quite well. Matt Jones put a stint in last week.
He did.
And scored a try. I think it was like a 30-metre breakaway try. He's probably never scored one of those in his life.
It was quite dramatic. The rain was lashing it down and Jonesy was storming through. It's quite a sight.
Yeah, I mean, to summarise last week's game, I mean, it was biblical conditions.
It was. It's apocalyptic.
Yeah, it pretty was. I mean,
5 minutes of footage and then the heavens opened.
Mate, I had to stop. But yeah, filming, and then no way, I'm not breaking my third phone within 6 weeks.
There was at one point where I was reffing, and there was one point where I was sort of looking back at a highball and the rain was just in my eyes. I literally couldn't see a thing. I was just in my head, oh, please don't, nothing happen in the next few seconds. So I literally can't see. I had to take a break to wipe my eyes away. And yeah, it's pretty, pretty epic Hong Kong weather.
Yeah, it was. It also spoiled my beef pie and chips on the sidelines.
Soggy beef pie and chips.
I was quite disappointed about. So last week was a big game. Wan Chai versus Oriana. First half, very close, very tight. Wan Chai going well. I can't remember if Wan Chai went with a lead or maybe just behind. Right?
They were, well, it was the first sort of quarter or first third was very tight. They were, I think Wan Chai were leading for the first quarter or third. But I'm not sure what happened. And then Storm, just before half time, scored, I think, three or four tries consecutively.
It's because Matt got his gander up because you made a mistake on that scrum. That's what fired him up. I think after that, Matt started just running and hitting people. And
I've inadvertently,
so you fired them up, the referee. But I think Wan Chai ultimately came up short because we just ran out of players. Again, people got injured.
Yeah.
It was one person, then a second, and then a third, and then a fourth. Yeah. And unfortunately, you know, the squad just isn't big enough.
No.
It's big enough when you look at the WhatsApp group, except half of the arseholes don't respond. But
maybe it's because you call them arseholes, Nev.
No, I'm calling them that now. The season's finished for them. So, yeah. Obviously, everyone who's come to play on a regular basis has been fantastic. But, yeah, so we just ran out of bodies. And, you know, there was a few weak moments in defence. You know, there was a couple of people, you know, I'm going to pick on Ben, for example. You know, he wants to get his position back playing for Hong Kong, but he can't do it if he's just basically shirking every tackle. Yeah. But, you know, when you're playing in centre, it's actually a very important position, right? You know, you've got to make some big tackles. And I think what we saw from the Warriors, particularly on the wings and in the centres, was not every tackle, but quite a lot of tackles. They were going in with just their arms hanging out. There was no shoulder contact.
Mm.
And, you know, I don't know if it was just windy, it was rainy, or they were carrying injuries.
I think it's a momentum thing as well. As soon as you start going back after a couple sets, then in your mindset, it's those 10 metres all of a sudden look like 20 metres, and they're running at you at full speed. And once that momentum gets going for the attacking team, for defence, very hard to stop, I think.
Yeah,
especially when a couple guys dropped off, then
very difficult in the second half. Yeah, absolutely. Well, anyway, so the grand final will be Toa versus Oriana Storm, you know, which is two new teams in the final, which is great. Toa, obviously, big favourites. But, you know, if Oriana can get their full complement squad together,
competitive,
I think we could be competitive. You know, we've got some good players from Sandy Bay.
Yeah.
We've got some decent players from Typhoons and a few others. So, you know, hopefully Matt Jones can rally the troops and we have a good game. The grand final will be next week, 28th of July, Kings Park. We'll have a women's nines first.
Fantastic. A decider,
right? I think that's probably been one of the finds of the year, right? You know, we've moaned a bit on the last few podcasts about how the summer Super League has gone, but there's been some high points, right? The women's, for a start, finding the likes of Ari, and you know, some of the other players are coming through. So that's good. And then the Toa Oriana game will start at 8 p.m. So come down and join us.
Exciting.
Right, so we've got a trials this weekend.
Trials.
Yeah, we've got those who are not playing for Storm invited to come and play against Toa.
Yeah.
And so basically that is Wan Chai, Broncos, and any other stragglers who have just arrived to get involved. So I think that's a great opportunity for the coaches to see people against a big, tough, fast team.
Yeah.
And because realistically, that, with the exception of the grand final, that was the last game the coaches get to see.
Yeah. These are the last two games. And I think it's important to remember that Toa also have some eligible players that the coaches will be looking at. So
definitely,
from both sides, not just the combined team, it'll have guys that will be keeping an eye on from both sides.
Yeah, no, we're looking forward to that. So we encourage anyone who's interested to come down.
What about the old the DB Tag Fest over the weekend? How was that, guys?
Brilliant, I would say.
It was good, wasn't it?
It was a fantastic day out. First time Tag has made it to Discovery Bay, and we had three teams from Discovery Bay. I think two of those teams were completely new to tag, so it was a really, really good day out. Some more controversial refereeing decisions from myself, but there you go. Overall, I think tag was the winner.
Yeah, tag was. Look, to have five teams turn up when, again, it was absolutely lashing it down.
It was thunderstorms, yeah.
Right? You know, we were getting messages at 7 a.m. Guys, is it still on?
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, people persevered. They rocked up, got up early, got on the ferry, and turned up. I mean, obviously, those who live in DB is a little bit easier, but it was a good day, right? They were a bit feisty and competitive with some of those DB boys.
Yeah, yeah. It was kind of marketed as a bit of a social tournament, but it quickly turned not into a social tournament. But
my lesson learned from that is I was taking it quite casual and wasn't putting a huge amount of effort into being involved with it. But I think next time, yeah, we'll have to step it up a little bit.
And, for sure.
We can, you know, there's a lot of areas we could do a lot better.
Yeah.
On the other hand, I think, you know, we had a few referees available, which referees are really important, and we don't give enough thanks to them. So thank you to Ringo and to Jason Yip, who helped referee.
Speaking of feisty DB boys, we also caught up with Andrew Tasker, and he gave us his take on the DB fist.
Does Tasker look like Jon Snow?
A little bit.
Yes, a little like bit. An Asian Jon Snow.
Like an Asian Jon Snow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's hear what he had to say.
DB has a very good 4G pitch. It's underutilized. We don't get many teams coming across. I don't think we have had any teams come across, to be honest. We train there for the Pirates. We do a bit of touch there as well on a Thursday. And having the two sides come from Hong Kong to play our local three DB teams was pretty cool. You know, I was getting texts at 7 a.m. from some of the players on Hong Kong side saying, look, is it still on? It's rainy. Will you close the pitches? You know, the pitches were still open. We all went down. We braved the rain. We braved the weather. And I think everybody on the day had a great time. Hopefully, we're looking to put on another one at the end of August. And I know some more teams are keen to get involved. So we'd love to have the Wan Chai Warriors and the Kowloon side again. Number two, what's the difference playing on sand and turf? So, what's the difference? I have only really played touch on the sand, and that's Discovery Bay touch on a Sunday. Playing on turf, you know, turf for me, especially on the weekend, was pretty difficult. I couldn't find my boots in the morning. I looked everywhere. I ended up playing in my trainers. You know, obviously the pitch was pretty wet. It was very rainy. I did slip a little bit, and I'm sure if you watch some of the videos, you'll see me trying to go for a try and slipping at the same time. I blame the turf, but it's usually pretty good. You know, when the weather's good, you get good grip. You can run quite well on it, you know, and there's a good spring to your step. So number three, why is Impact involved with Hong Kong Tag? Now, we tried to get involved with you guys earlier for the league team, but obviously that didn't work out. And spoke to Nev. I wanted to see if there was anything else we could do to get ourselves more involved with the boys, more involved with Tag, more involved in the community. We managed to get you the Kowloon and the Hong Kong vests in pretty record time. You guys needed them quite quickly, and we sorted you guys out for that. I think we want to do a few more tag tournaments as well. It'll help grow both the tag brand awareness in Discovery Bay and, you know, get more of the community involved, because I think community events such as tag can allow, you know, the ladies and the men to get together and play pretty competitive and very fun tag against one another. I talked to a lot of the guys afterwards. They're really happy, both from Hong Kong side and Discovery Bay. And it makes, you know, the brand Impact Pro Wear more well-known within that community. And if everybody's happy, hopefully they can look at ordering their tag uniforms or their kit and their off-field wear through us as well.
Right, so Tasker sort of echoing what you guys were saying about the event. We also heard from Anna Burns, who played in the Hong Kong Tag Challenge and also enjoyed her time trying to tag out a DB, and here's what she had to say.
Yeah, so the Discovery Bay tournament was absolutely amazing. It was really easy for us to get there. So we met at the central ferry pier, got the ferry over together, and short bus ride to the pitch. There was also some comedy on the ferry, which maybe never one of the guys can fill you in on. It involved a rice roll and a tooth. So that's another story maybe. The conditions were actually quite challenging, probably the most challenging conditions that I've played in since I've been playing tag here. It went from, you know, absolutely chucking it down to sunny and, so sunburn as well as being absolutely soaked through to the skin. Should people come out and play tag and try it? I think absolutely. And I think there were so many people there on Saturday who had never played before, both from the sort of the island side and from the Discovery Bay guys. And I think everyone who came out to try it absolutely loved it. And then, you know, some drinks afterwards and a presentation for some MVPs was a really, really nice way to end the day and get in the ferry back together. I think everyone who was there will agree it was a really successful event, and hopefully it's one that we'll see again.
Guys, what's this rice roll tooth story that she's referring to?
It was a bit bizarre. What time was the ferry? 7:30?
Yeah, it was a very early ferry, 7:30.
So 7:30 ferry from DB, sorry, from Hong Kong Island, Jung Wan Ma Tao, Sam Ho, to get over to DB.
Just to clarify, that was Nev speaking, not myself.
It's exactly. Obvious Nev
was being good. I was looking at your head, how can your lips didn't move? And there was Cantonese.
And so I can never pronounce a name properly. Marisa, you're Spanish.
Mariana.
Mariana. Yeah, so Mariana all of a sudden.
Mariana
just jumped up. And she was eating these little rice rolls. And it had someone's tooth in it.
It was disgusting.
And it wasn't her tooth.
She sort of jumped up, and her face was just one of pure horror. And everyone just sort of stopped and turned and looked at her. And then out came a tooth which wasn't hers. Grim.
Disgusting.
One rice roll, one tooth.
Yeah, so just be careful if you're buying rice rolls at any of these little kiosks near the ferries.
Yeah.
Obviously, quite dodgy. I wonder if she reported.
I think she was just so horrified, she just wanted to get rid of it straight
away.
Imagine
eating someone else's tooth.
How does a tooth get in there, anyways?
Exactly. It is odd, isn't it?
Yeah.
Might have to Google it.
Could be a kid.
How did a tooth get into a rice roll?
Let's Google it.
Maybe someone was giving it a nibble before.
That was a bit of drama, which we quickly will move on from.
So we also have a local lady this week, a little bit of a difference. We're going to catch up with Tsavita Tanielu, who is a big part of the Pacific Tour and also played for Hong Kong. He gives us his story on why he came to Hong Kong and how he got involved with rugby league. And also a bit later he'll tell us what was it like to play for Hong Kong and maybe some of the players to watch out for that are going to qualify soon.
Tala Falava, my name is Tsavita Tanielu and I'm the coach of the Hong Kong Pacific Tour Rugby League team. I started to play in the rugby league for the first time back in 1997. In Samoa at the age of 22. I was also playing for one of the local rugby league teams called CSL Giants for a few years until 2005. I got to involve with the Samoa rugby league sometimes and then became coach to one of the local teams called the Falilau New Warriors from around 2008 to 2010. I first moved here in Hong Kong with my family in the beginning of 2011 as a full-time missionary. Then I got to play in the Union for Kowloon and Kai Wu clubs for a few years. Then with the Tin Chi Wai Panthers, where I was also coaching the second team back in 2015 and still playing with them until now. I'm still working as a full-time missionary with the Sports Services International, a ministry of the youth with a mission Hong Kong, where we are mainly involved with coaching different kinds of sports, including both rugby contacts and touch in clubs, schools, Drug Rehab Center and Church Youth for free. Being a coach is challenging sometimes, and one of the things that can be frustrating to me as a coach is when I put all my effort to prepare my team for the game ahead and the game would cancel because the other team or our opposition won't show up or don't turn up with enough players. It was a great privilege for me to have the opportunity to play for the first ever Hong Kong Rugby League team last year. It was an amazing feeling and I was so proud to represent Hong Kong and serving its beautiful city in this way. The Hong Kong Pacific Tour team players are mostly from the Pacific Islands, such as Samoa, Fiji, and New Zealand, with few local Chinese and a brother from England. They are all working here in Hong Kong, and two of them have been eligible also to play for the Hong Kong team, apart from our Hong Kong Pacific Tour skipper, Masoi Hokento-Malatai, and myself. They are Frankie Solomona and our Hong Kong Pacific Tour manager, Harry Pupoli, and will be followed by Feso Solomona very soon, and with Ila Leo Missi and Micah Soro in less than 2 years from now. Thank you and Faftai
Lau. I think it's an amazing story, right? You come over here as part of a church, and I think we mentioned this on a few episodes ago. You know, Hong Kong's not a cheap place to live, right? And I can't imagine...
Yeah, Micah does the same thing. Yeah.
Right? They've got much cash, and to being so involved in the community, I think is really special. Because you know, there is more to life, there is more to Hong Kong than just the skyscrapers, and you get a lot of people who put all this effort in, right?
I think he used to play for, or he was in the training squad for Samoa Rugby League in his younger days as well.
Yeah, he's definitely played at various levels, and definitely does a lot of work with the Tinshu White Pandas, where he's a big part of their coaching setup, and obviously with Pacific Tour, it runs a lot of the stuff behind the show.
Yeah.
So it's really good, and again, he's someone that I still remember that first game against Japan we played last year, and he came on, and I thought he helped turn the tide. Yeah. Him and Ben Ryan, when they came on that second quarter, they actually really turned the tide and helped us get back in the game.
Yeah.
So it's good to have him involved still in rugby league. So.
Absolutely. And he's such a gentleman as well. I don't want him to tackle me.
Lovely chap.
He's a great chap. Right, fan questions. Who have we got? Let's have a look.
Oh, what's Brad Newman's question?
Brad Newman's question is... why do the Kowloon and New Territories have more passion? Very similar to the Queensland, as I guess that's what you call them. Is that what you call the Queenslanders?
Queensland spirit, yeah. Queensland Justin spirit, McMahon yeah. will correct us on that.
So what do you reckon?
I don't think I'm the right one to answer it, if I'm quite honest. But I think I should pass it to Ringo, given that you are... You play for that team. I would just say, I think, and we mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, I think it just means more to the people who are playing, because those who tended to play for Kowloon and the New Territories are from there, whereas a lot of the guys who were playing for Ireland are, you know, expats, or they just, you know, waifs and strays, no real foundations with Hong Kong Island.
Yeah.
That's my view anyway.
Well, yeah, I mean, my family are from Yuen Long in the New Territories. And I think there's quite not a very aggressive social divide, but there is a social divide in that Kowloon and New Territories typically more working class based. I mean, even say 30, 40 years ago, so my parents' generations, a lot of people, for example, in the New Territories grew up around gangs. And so it really is a different world from when you come to Hong Kong Island and you see all these skyscrapers, luxury department shops, etc. So, you know, I think there's a real identity that you carry with you when you're from these places, which are quite far away from maybe the affluence and the more luxurious areas of Hong Kong. But yeah, and I guess there's also this physical divide in that there is, Hong Kong Island is an island, so like my grandma still talks about that one time when she came to Hong Kong Island and remember people wearing tall shoes and she had to walk a lot. this was, of course, pre-MTR, buses weren't that frequent, so you have the ferry, but I mean, she had no ever any reason to come to Hong Kong Island. And so Hong Kong Island for her was literally a world away. She was Yuen Long, new territories, and that was kind of it. And every now and again she would go to Kowloon.
Wow, and Yuen Long was pretty basic back in, I mean, I imagine when your grandma was there.
I mean, even in my living memory.
It's actually a new development, is Yuen Long.
Really? Yeah, so, I mean, my family are what we call walled villages. They're from settlements historically, which were villages with big walls around them and et cetera. And even in my living memory, the village has changed dramatically. So when I used to come back as a kid, there was a basketball court at the front of the village and there's some grassy areas. And then a couple of years later, when I came back, all of a sudden they were developing the MTR. So for someone like my grandma, someone like my mum and dad, I mean, that area has just completely transformed. When you look at old photos, it's completely unrecognizable. So there you go. I think that also goes to sort of the, when you're talking about new territories in Kowloon, it is very different up there, and the rate of change has been quite quick, but still that identity is still there because, you know, the historically what they remember collectively as a community, it, you know, their new territory was very different to Hong Kong Island.
Are you set to inherit a nice village house, Ringo?
I am. Nice is a subjective word. I am set to inherit a village house. I also have walled villages, so we are actually politically recognised as not a different ethnicity or anything, but we do have certain privileges that others don't. So I have a right to build a house in Hong Kong.
This is it's for another episode. We should
We're going really in depth into this.
The politics of Hong Kong and basically how sexist it all is.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's really just to buy off all the village leaders, right?
Yeah. I mean, having said that, though, you are correct, but at the same time, so my village, and I must admit, I have benefited from this because all the revenue that the village earns from the land that they sell and the property that they rent, and every so often when we have too much reserves, they basically redistribute that money amongst the males of the villages. So I have been,
gambling.
No, I've not been gambling, but I have that money every, I think, twice in my lifetime has sort of found its way into my pocket. So, you know, I admit it's very sexist and very oddly political and hierarchical, but at the same time, I have benefited it from.
Okay, so, right, well, yeah. A quick summary there. For those who are new to Hong Kong and don't necessarily know, if you are a designated village or walled community, and the males are entitled to either the property that's already there or to build property on the space.
Yes, more or less.
Maybe next time you can elaborate on whether there's concubines that are
included. I don't think there are official concubines. Wow. I'm not sure about unofficial ones, though.
Right. All right, shall we get back onto rugby
league? Yes, sure. What are we here for?
But, I mean, some of the best podcasts, you know, we do cover a wide range of topics, right?
That's why we're here.
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of weird questions, we got this one. People want to know, if you were a speed limit, what speed limit would you be and why? Speed limit. That was from Going Great Guns 52. Sounds Australian.
Great Guns, right? Right.
Ringo. We can all answer it.
I'm not sure about speed limit, but
quick.
At school, I was kind of known for being quite quick over 20 meters and then sort of just slowing down after that. So, whatever the equivalent, I guess, of that is, I don't know. How do we work that out?
20 miles an hour, sound?
I guess. Yeah, I'll go for 20 miles per hour. Enough to get you going, but not quite enough to sustain any
pace. What are you, Jeff?
Probably 5k an hour. I like to cruise.
Was driving in the car park, right?
Pretty much like a learner driver, just cruising around, looking at people watching. It's pretty hard to people watch when you're driving fast.
Yeah.
So I do a lot of things slow.
Yeah.
Including talking.
Very good.
Fine.
It's a long question, so
come on, mate. You've got to go with an answer, sure.
All right. I'm going to go for 50 miles an hour.
Oh,
right.
I wonder why.
Right, 50 miles an hour, because you'd like to think you're going really fast.
Yeah.
Which I probably used to think I was quite fast, but actually not that fast. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Resilience or speed limit, is it?
Right.
So within the lane. Yeah.
So, you know, quick off the mat, get there, think you're faster than you are, 50 miles an hour.
Looking around.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. When you get to the end, Jack will be there in the car park waiting for you.
Cruising.
Cruising.
Well, I've gone past you.
You've gone past me for sure.
Yeah. We also have a few of our leaguies participating in the upcoming Club Fight Night. Club Fight Night is a fundraising and boxing event where sports clubs in Hong Kong submit fighters or enter fighters, and we all raise money for Operation Breakthrough. Mark Norris from The Storm will be competing.
Very excited to be boxing this year. This is my third attempt at getting a match up. First time it's successful, so yeah, really excited about it. Never boxed before, so it's quite the unknown. Enjoyed the 6 weeks or so of training that we've had so far, and yeah, looking forward to getting out there on the day and having a good scrap. Most importantly, this year it's the partner with a charity called Operation Breakthrough. It's a great charity that helps disadvantaged kids and first time offenders using sport to try and give them a head start in life and change their mindset a bit and, you know, just give them a bit of help. So hopefully we can raise a lot of money and it's all going to a very good place. Message for the supporters. Well, firstly, hopefully you can come and support Oriana Storm in the grand final on the 28th of July against Pacific Tower. And then on to the main event after that, which will be myself against Sven. Hope you can all come and cheer me on. Hopefully get a good win out of it. Cheers.
So, Mark there, he's pretty handy on the field. He's pretty handy in the ring as well. He's quite looking forward to fighting. Guys, what do we think about these sorts of events and having our people, our league people involved with them?
I think it's fantastic. I like boxing. I've done, you know, very basic amateur training back in Leeds. Mm. Done some stuff over here in Hong Kong. It is great. Great for fitness. If you're at the right club, it's great because you're with really driven people. I remember when you used to train in Leeds, we were training in an absolute shithole. And we'd go down there, and on the approach, there'd always be smashed up cars, broken windows, glass everywhere. And yeah,
character building.
It was. So we'd go out and we'd do some runs on the roads, right, just to get warmed up.
Mm-hmm.
And then people would chuck rocks at us, right? But then we'd realise who they were chucking rocks at. It was like a bunch of boxers who were quite fit, right? So they stopped chucking rocks. But it was a bit surreal running around there with these little luminous yellow jackets, right? Because it's UK, it doesn't matter, winter. It's dark, so you've got to put your jackets on, you know, it's early in the morning and stuff. So, yeah, it was bizarre. So, but really good club, really good for you. And getting it in the corporate involved and getting the white-collar workers and the blue-collar workers, whatever you want to be, I think it's fantastic.
It's great. It's a great cause as well. Can you let listeners know a bit more about Operation Breakthrough?
Definitely. Operation Breakthrough basically helps a lot of at-risk local youth, also a lot of Nepalese at-risk youth. There's a big association between Operation Breakthrough and the Police Rugby Club.
Mm,
basically, that's where it all got started. And so what they have the boys, in most of the cases, do is basically come in and train and fight and box, learn how to box. They have a boxing gym out in Tai Po where the guys can come in and basically train for free, get some of that aggression out, and also play a bit of rugby union. So they have a lot of the police teams. You'll see them in their funky red and yellow uniforms. Most of their youth teams are made up of these at-risk youth.
Yeah.
So the people behind Operation Breakthrough are basically big on giving, as I said, at-risk youth an opportunity to use that energy a little bit more constructively, you know, in the ring, on a field, learn some life skills, stuff that's going to help them maybe get out of the life they've started to be exposed to, which doesn't always end well.
Mate, it's a great idea. And right now, you know, Hong Kong's got a great boxer in Rek Do. Mm. I can't pronounce his name properly. So, Rek Do, TSO, and you know, he's become a big star in Hong Kong, and he's got quite a few belts to his name. So, then boxing generally, I think, is increasing in popularity again. I think, you know, the likes of Joshua.
Anthony Joshua, yeah. And Deontay Wilder.
Yeah, Deontay Wilder. It's going to be huge. Anthony Fury. Not Anthony Fury, sorry, Tyson Fury.
Tyson Fury.
You know, these people have brought entertainment back to it. Because if you go back a few years, the heavyweight division was pretty poor.
It's pretty low in numbers.
Right.
Quality.
Whereas now, I think we've seen a lot more quality. I mean, obviously, you've got the Joshua in. Provoking fight coming up.
Yep.
Which is going to be, I think it will be a tough test for Joshua. once we sort out our room facility.
Just while my son Rick's at Neville's office here. I'm trying.
What have you pressed?
Oh, I'm seeing new parts of this office.
There we go.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That was cool.
Well done, mate. Nicely done.
Yes, so boxing's good.
Boxing's good. Okay.
And we often talk about how important volunteers are to rugby league.
Very important.
And you know, over the last couple of months, we've had a special guest over way from the US.
America.
Yeah.
USA. USA.
And Corbin Gibson does fit the stereotype. But we just want to give a big thank you to Corbin for staying in Hong Kong for a few months,
yeah.
Purely here to play rugby league.
Completely, yeah.
An amazing effort. And unfortunately, he's going back to the US on the 18th of July. going back a little bit early, he's injured his knee. So he's just had it drained.
Yeah.
And he's going back, and then he's also going to have a hip replacement.
That is quite a list of upcoming things to do.
Yep. It just probably explains why it was crap. We love you really, Corbin.
Having said that, I mean, when we did the podcast with him, he made a very bold prediction about the World Cup, and he said it's going to be a Cinderella story. And I was like, whatever, Corbin, get out of here. And yeah. He was almost bloody right.
Right.
I mean, he did caveat himself saying, I know nothing about soccer.
And then went on to describe it in perfect detail.
Yeah, it went on to exactly describe, guess what happened. And
Cinderella.
Cinderella, yeah. Sorry.
So a big thank you. I mean, you play for my team, Wan Chai, which was great. And, you know, he came down to referee.
Yeah.
And, you know, really showed his enthusiasm for rugby league, which was great to see. So we'll miss you, Corbin. And I'm pretty sure those small guest houses you've been visiting on a frequent basis will also miss you. I think you should go to church when you go back.
Actually, inside the church and not just outside the church hanging around.
Sunbathing.
We'll see you later, mate. Take care.
Thank you, mate.
Well, we're getting to the closing stages now. Just a reminder to pop down to King's Park on Saturday. Come if you want to watch rugby league. Come if you want fancy your chances and want to play for Hong Kong. So that just leaves me now to say bye-bye and thank you to Ringo Long and Jack Nielsen and Taher.
Chow Yin.
See you, mate.